makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, when I think about how he saved me, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up and turned me around, how he placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, it makes me hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout. Amen. Can we just give God a hand clap of praise? Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for another day just getting us into your presence, Lord, just to be here, Lord, just to be refreshed, and Lord, just to hear your word, and also, Lord, just bring us through another day safely, Lord. We just thank you just for getting us all together, Lord, once again, just to hear from you. And we ask that as we are here, and for the ones that are on their way, that you just protect them, Lord, and just keep them. And Lord, help us just to, Lord, have ears, Lord, attentive, Lord, to what you have to say to us tonight, Lord. And we ask that you just help us just to, Lord, get something out of the service, Lord God, and just open our minds and open our hearts and open our ears to hear what you may say to us, Lord, and not only hear, but apply it, Lord God, to our everyday lives as well. Bless Brother Jack as he, Lord, has prepared. Lord, I ask that you just, Lord, just get him under inspiration, Lord God, to speak what you put on his heart, Lord God, and that he may deliver it, Lord, with your help, Lord, to your people, that it may find, Lord, the right bedding ground, Lord. We ask that you just take control of the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on lifted, eyes closed, just sing it to him. Oh, I love him. I love him because he first, as Brother Jack comes, loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him, I love him. Oh, I love him. Yes, I do. Because As musicians just play, just give God a hand clap of praise. Just begin to thank Him.
Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You to be in Your presence once more tonight. We ask, oh God, that You would just minister to our hearts as we come, Lord Jesus. Not, God, just for head knowledge, but we want to know You more in a very real way. And we're a grateful, appreciative people tonight that You would choose to reveal Yourself to us when we think of where we were and stumbling around and, Lord, our old churches and trying to find truth. Lord, You knew there was a deep in us calling out to a deep. And God, You have certainly responded to the cry that was in our heart. And as we come tonight, Lord, just telling You that we love You with all of our heart, we ask that You minister to us. And God, help us to hold, take the, Lord, what we are receiving, take it seriously. God, the responsibility that's been given to us for hearing the things that we hear. Lord, just to hear it, God, we're blessed. Just to read it in the book of Revelation, we're blessed. And God, to have understanding, even, Lord, just magnifies the blessing that much more. Bless us now as we would go into a study of Your word a little bit further tonight. Trust that You just open up our hearts and open up our minds to hear what Your spirit has to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God richly bless you. You can be seated. We want to go back to Revelation chapter 10 and we will just kind of look at some more quotes that we had from last week and just see how the Lord would take it tonight. Revelation 10 is where we will read from. Amen. Verses 1 through 7 again is what we'll focus on tonight. And if we have time, we'll start digging a little bit further into verses 8 through 11. But verses 1 through 7, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Again, we, through Brother Branham telling us, we know that this mighty angel is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And said, and he had in his hand a little book open, and set his foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And last week as we were going through that, we showed how Daniel also, I brought you some quotes where Brother Branham said Daniel saw, Daniel heard the thunders as well, but he was told to seal it up. John heard them. He was told to seal them up. And the purpose for that is because they would be revealed in our day, in this day. They were sealed up until this day in which we live. And I think I brought the quote for you. Yeah. I brought this quote out of Laodicean Church Age. Brother Ram said this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. And really, Brother Branham's ministry was to, I mean, that was what one of the things that God ordained and planned according to Scripture, that his ministry would be the ministry to break these things open to us that we might have clarity on it. So here verse 4 says, "And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not." So John was prepared to write them. But the angel said, I mean, he heard a voice say, seal it up, don't write it. It was sealed up until this time. And the angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And we'll stay there again for this week. You all remember, and I know I bring a lot of, I don't bring all the, not all the quotes with me, but I know I've shared much of this before. But before we got started into talking about the seven seals, I think I took the church through like a teaching on services. It's time. And that's a very important message. Brother Branham goes in there, and he's not sure what's getting ready to happen. He knows something great is getting ready to happen in his ministry, but he's just not certain as to, you know, what's going on. God given, you know, six people that had dreams, and then one particular, and then even himself, he had a vision. And one of the dreams was, you all probably heard the name Junior Jackson. And Junior Jackson had the dream where he saw Brother Branham take like a crowbar, like something, and pry open the mountain, and told the people to look on this. It was white rock, granite rock that no one had ever looked upon before. And in this dream, he's telling the people just look on this. And as the people are looking on that, Brother Branham kind of goes towards the west in the dream. And Brother Branham was just kind of saying, you know, possibly I'm going towards the west to get the revelation of those things. And these are all dreams and visions and things before he actually went out, you know, to Arizona. And when he went out there, God always kind of, that's why it's so important for me, you know, when dreams and visions, you know, we certainly receive those, but you always want people to tell you ahead of time, not after the fact. Don't please, not after the fact. That to me is very doubtful, you know, that is true when it's said after the fact. But when you can put your name on it, you know, before the fact, you know, we saw this was going to happen. And when it happens, then we all give God praise. And if it don't happen, we invite you to the altar so we can pray for you. See, and now, you know, and I got to be careful there, because actually you could have gifts in the church where people will be afraid to exercise their gifts because they don't want to be wrong, you know. It's almost like me as a minister. If I was afraid to come to the pulpit every time and actually speak under inspiration because I don't want to be wrong, then nothing will ever get done. See, so sometimes, you know what, just it's all in the spirit in which you do things. If you have the spirit like, Lord, if I'm wrong, I'm willing to take correction. But if your spirit is like, no, I ain't wrong. I ain't never been wrong. You know, one of y'all wrong. You know, you got that type of spirit, then God really can't use you. God can't use you in that manner. See, so what you got to do is, if you can humble yourself with your gift, then God can use it. You know, and Lord, it's not, because then you realize it's not about you anyway. You know,
It's not about how right I am. It's about, Lord, if this is you, then I just want to share it and just be a blessing to God's people. If it's not, I don't want this spirit on me, Lord. See, that's the way that we have to approach that. But, you know, so they have, you go back and you listen to Sir Sister Time, and there's still a lot of questions that are left there in that message. Like I told you, this message and the revelation of the message progresses. You know, it's just like we as human beings, we have progressed. You know, we might have learned in first grade how to add and subtract. Then second grade, they might start teaching us a little multiplication and, you know, division and things like that. As you start getting on up into the years, the math changes. They're not just giving you addition and subtraction. And first they might give you one number. Then they give you two numbers. Then they throw three numbers or four numbers at you. And you got to know how to carry this over and all that. As your mind is able to contain more or absorb more, then they give you more. Before you know it, you got algebra, you got geometry, you got trigonometry, you know, calculus, statistics, and all these other subjects that come because your mind is able to comprehend. If we can do that in the natural, don't you think God kind of operates the same way in the spiritual? We're not able to absorb all this right out of the gate. But yet and still, as time progresses and as we progress in God, then God is able to bring more to us as he sees fit. So that's the way I believe the message went. As you know, Brother Branham just gave more and more. God would give him more and more, then he would give more and more to the people as God saw fit. So you have to, when you're studying the message, always don't just take one quote from 59 and don't trace it all the way up to 65. See, don't do that. A lot of times a thought that he might have in 59, it might have progressed. You know, like one thought I'll tell you is Brother Branham used to make some statements about the seal. There's seven seals on the backside and seven seals on the inside. And one person take that quote, next thing you know, they'd be thinking it's 14 seals, seven on the backside and seven on the inside. And Brother Branham actually made a statement and said, I thought it was that way, but, you know, I realized it was all the same. See, it was all the same. It's just that all we saw is white horse rider, red horse rider, black horse rider, pale horse rider, souls under the altar. You know, that's all we saw, but what that actually meant, nobody had any idea. But when God opened up the revelation of what that meant, you tear the seal off and see what it means, then you got clarity. So we thank God for that. Let's just pull up this first quote here, and then, you know, we'll go on tonight. This first quote I want to read is actually coming out of the Church Age book. And just something that I was looking back over. Brother Branham makes this comment, says, you will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we are studying is the actual revelation of Jesus himself in the church and his work in the future ages. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation or we will fail to get it. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. Not just ordinary study and thinking to make this book real. It is going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good, but a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit or it never becomes clear. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open and become yielded to the Spirit to hear and know. All right, we know it's going to take the teaching of the Spirit in order for us to get understanding of these things, and if we would yield ourselves before the Lord, he will bring understanding. We want to just go, and I want to go back and look at some of these mysteries. We're going to go to Sir Sister Time, and it's the year is 1962, December 30th, and we're just going to kind of read when Revelation 10:7 is what I'm kind of focusing on right there. Revelation 10:7 states, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel," and I want you to also understand, this seventh angel that it speaks of here is also talking about the same angel, Revelation 3, the seventh angel to the seventh church, which is the church of Laodicea, that this is the angel that the scripture is speaking of. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound," and there's another thing that Brother Branham brought to attention. I didn't bring the quote, but I'll tell you what he said. He said, when the healing ministry and everything was going forth, that was not the message going forth. Say the healing ministry was just to get everybody's attention. He said, but when he began to open up these mysteries, that's when the message started going forth. See, the healing ministry was to get everybody's attention. And it's the same thing with when God called Moses to the burning bush. He got his attention with the fire and all that, but after he got there, seeing the bush set on fire, not burning, after he got there, then the voice of God spoke. So it's after, like, so you hear a lot of people, they're interested in this message because they hear it about the supernatural life of Brother Branham. Like, wow, God did that, God did that. I know I'll be the first one to admit, when I start reading his life story, I'm like, my, it's something in it. And the other thing, I'm going to tell you something. In you, you crave the supernatural. So it's easy for you to draw to that. You're a supernatural being yourself, whether you realize it or not. But you crave to see the supernatural done, and not only that, experience the supernatural. And, you know, with that being in you, all somebody got to do is just show you a little something, and especially if it's lined up with the word, my, you'll just, oh, my, that's what I want, you know. And that's what Brother Branham, God used that to get our attention. But after he got our attention, then he brought forth the word, and the revelation of the word is what anchored us, you know. And we're so grateful for that. Amen. But so the message is what was, you know, when these seven angels came and gave them the revelation of seals, those deep mysteries, things that people just stumbled over for years. These are the things, that's the message going forth. So it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So I want to talk about those mysteries there. We'll pull this up out of Is This the Sign of the End? And again, also known as Sirs, Is This the Time? That message. So let's just read this. Brother Branham says, now listen close. The seventh angel of Revelations 10:7 is the seventh church age messenger. That's why I just was telling y'all Revelation 3:14, the messenger to Laodicea is the seventh messenger, the seventh angel, according to Revelation 10:7. The seventh angel of Revelation 10:7 is the seventh church age messenger. See, now watch, and in the days, now watch here. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now sounding forth this messenger, the seventh angel here is sounding forth his message to the Laodicean church. Notice his type of message. Now, it wasn't to the first angel, which was Paul, right? Wasn't given that. The second angel, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, but it's the seventh angel that had this type of message. What was it? Notice his type of message. Finishing all the mysteries that's laying loose ended all out through these organizations, winding up and denominations. Did I miss that? I'm sorry. The seventh angel is winding. Okay, notice his type of message, finishing all the mysteries of God that are written in the book. The seventh angel is winding up all the mysteries that's laying loose in it, all out through these organizations and denominations. The seventh angel gathers them up and finishes the entire mystery. He gathers them up and finishes the entire mystery. That's what the Bible said, finishes the mystery of the written book. Now let's take a few of these mysteries. And if you want to write them down, first I'll take what Scofield says here in Matthew 13. Now, if you ever had a Scofield Bible, Scofield lists various notes about what he declared as being the mysteries. And that's what Brother Branham's referring back to, a Scofield Bible here. Says, write them down. And first, I'll take what Scofield says here in Matthew 13. If you would like to type some of them down, if you haven't got a Scofield Bible, you might read what he thinks some of the mysteries are. Now, read what Scofield thinks what some of the mysteries are. Now, in the 11th verse, he answered and said to him, because it is given to you, his disciples, Matthew 13, 11, as he's referring to, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them, but to them it is not given. The mysteries. So Brother Branham is bringing this point. What are we referring to when we talk about mysteries? Here's the mystery, and this is Scofield's definition. A mystery is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but which is a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. Now, this is Scofield's definition. A mystery is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but which is a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. The greater mysteries and the great mysteries are, this is Scofield's definition now. Number one, he puts the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. That's the one we're talking on now, and is referring to Matthew 13, 3 through 15. And, you know, even in that, you all remember the story of Brother Branham preaching, and at the end of the sermon, a man walked up and said that could have been the 23rd chapter of Revelation, and all of a sudden he just began to prophesy. And as he prophesied, three people rose up and said, that's pure French. That don't need no interpretation. That's pure French. So when that happened, Brother Branham said, okay, before y'all say anything, all three of y'all separate. Go and you tell me, you write down what he said. Then come back and give me, let's compare your notes. Got the notes, and that was exact. They was exactly the same from the three people. They had the exact same thing. And in that prophecy, one of the things that was said, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. And so Brother Branham was kind of thinking about that. A huge portion of heaven awaits thee. He's like, heaven not sectioned off like we got acres of land and, you know, 1 acre here and 2 acres there. Heaven not sectioned off like that. That's something not right about that. Well, as God just began to reveal the huge portion of East, and he found the scripture where heaven is with, I mean, it says this huge portion of heaven that awaits thee. It's the kingdom of God that's within you. See, the kingdom of God is within you. So this huge portion of heaven that awaited him was the revelation of the word that he was bringing to the people. See, that's it. The kingdom of God was within him, the huge portion of heaven, the revelation that he was bringing to the people. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the second mystery is the mystery of Israel's blindness during this age. Romans 11:25, with the context. The third mystery that Scofield listed is the mystery of the translation of the living saints at the end time of this age. 1 Corinthians 15 and also Thessalonians 4:14-17. The fourth mystery of the New Testament church as one body composed of both Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 3:1-11, Romans 16:25, and also Ephesians 6:19, Colossians 4:3. These are reference scriptures. The fifth mystery is of the church as the bride of Christ. That's found in Ephesians 5:28-32. Scofield is bringing this up. The sixth mystery is of the living Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Galatians 2:20 and Hebrews 13:8, many places like that. The seventh mystery is of God, even Christ, as the incarnate fullness of the Godhead embodied in whom all divine wisdom and godliness is restored to man. The ninth mystery is the mystery of iniquity found in 2 Thessalonians and so forth. Brother Branham brought that out in the first seal. The tenth mystery is of the seven stars of Revelation 1:20, seven stars in his hand. Well, we got an understanding of who those seven stars are now, all right? And Brother Ram said, we've just been through that. The seven stars are the seven church ages, the seven messengers and so forth. And the 11th mystery is Mystery Babylon, the prostitute, Revelation 17, verse 5 through 7. Now he goes on, that's some of the mysteries that this angel is supposed to wind up. What does that mean? Brother Branham taught all of these things. What does that mean? And actually, let me tell you, he taught most of this before the seven angels came. All right, he taught most of these things before the seven angels ever even came. So that's why the scripture said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So most of it was already taught. And that's why, you know, I just believe when God was finished with Brother Branham, he took him off the scene. The mysteries are finished. There's no more to come. You know, there's no more to come. We're not looking for anybody else to bring anything else. It's already here. All we got to do is dig in there and find out where it's written and just stay with it. All right, listen. He says here, that's some of the mysteries that this angel is supposed to wind up. All the mysteries of God. And the other one, may I say this with reverence and not referring to myself, but referring to the angel of God. Here's some mysteries that Brother Branham bring in now. The mystery of the serpent seed. Schofield didn't put that in there. All right. Brother Branham say the serpent seed. That's been a hidden mystery all through the years. So remember, his job is at the end to tie all the loose ends. People have been stumbling around for years trying to figure out what happened in that garden. But God sent a prophet to tell us exactly what happened in the garden. Now, it's up to us to receive it if we want to receive it. But we ain't got to go on believing no more about no apple. And I don't know how many times, you know, I know in my early years of going to church, nobody had no answers to that. I mean, one church said apple, another one said apricot, one said all kind of, you didn't know what to believe, you know. Nobody had a true answer to that, but God brought us a true scriptural answer to that, all right, through his prophet. Serpent seed, that's been a hidden mystery all through the years. The grace straightened out, not disgraced, but real, true grace. And I like that because, you know, you have some people that would, they have this thing, well, if I'm a seed of God, then I ain't going to be lost anyway, and they just live any kind of life they want to live. If you recognize that you're a seed of God, you're going to serve God with everything you got, thanking him with your life that he called you. See, not well, you know, I don't matter if I'm a seed. I'm going to come anyway. I mean, I can't be lost anyway if I'm a seed. And then they want you to feel sorry for them with the comments like that. No, I tell you, God had to change me. I'm going to just be honest with you. God had to change me. Can I share y'all a testimony? I'm telling you, I told one brother one time, and the Lord helped me. You know, I told him, and I mean, Lord delivered me after I told him this. The Lord, I'm telling you, the Lord delivered me. But I told him, I said, brother, I just can't see me living for God all these years and making it. And then you just living for the devil all these years. And then at the last minute, here you come in talking about you made it too. I said, I'm probably going to be trying to push you out. See, I mean, all these years, I done sacrificed everything I had to come, and here you coming in knowing the same thing that I knew, and you come in at the last minute talking about, I made it too, brother. I said, the Lord had to change me. I needed a heart to love, you know. I mean, God changed me. I received the brother now, but I'm just telling you how I was feeling. It's hard to live like a Christian. I mean, it ain't easy to be a Christian. You know, everything come against Christians. It's easy to go the other way. See, but I mean, like you say, salmon swim upstream. All the other fish swimming downstream. You trying to swim upstream. It make it difficult sometimes. But then you got somebody that know the truth and won't do it. Oh, my. Some hurting things. Hurting things, but just keep praying. Amen. But one of the things I do not compromise with anymore now that I got revelation, please don't use that where if I'm a seed. If you a seed, even if you can use the language like that. You know, the average person can't even say that, if I'm a seed. But even for you to use language like that, you ought to be giving God the glory. You know, you are the Lord. I thank you. I can't even say that. All right. The grace straighten out, not disgrace. And that's the other thing Paul said in scripture. Say, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know, grace is something that we don't deserve, but God gives it to us anyway. And we recognize that he's given it to us. Don't frustrate it. Don't frustrate the grace of God. But real, true grace, he says. No such thing as an eternal burning hell. And that's another mystery that Brother Branham brought out. Hell is not eternal. There's only one form of eternal life, and that's the life that God gives us. Amen. He says, you'll burn for millions of years, but anything that was eternal had never beginning or end, and hell was created. The scripture says that. Hell was created. All these mysteries. Also, he says this, the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation. What a mystery. Now, that one right there get most people. Because they told us you had to cry, you had to jump, you had to run. And I done shared this story so many times about the brother that went to one meeting. They told him, say, speak in tongues, you got it, you got it. Speak in tongues. So he starts speaking in tongues. He say, I just didn't have it. Went to the next meeting and say, just shout, you got it. So he shouted. So I still don't think I had nothing, even with all the shouting. And the next one told him to do something else, whether it was cry or whatever it was, you know, then you got it. And I've heard, this is a different story, but one person was telling me how they went to a church and they was telling them, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to act like some type of appliance in your house. What you mean? Like you're going to act like a washing machine, or you're going to act like a dryer, or you're going to act like a vacuum cleaner. You're going to act like one of these things when you get the Holy Ghost. So all the people in the church, you can imagine what this church looked like, right? You know, people, you know, get a good whiff of the Spirit, go to acting like a washing machine, you know, or a dryer, or a microwave, or whatever it is. You can imagine being in church like that, you know. And this is what they was teaching the people. But you know, this brother, back to the story, brothers, say he did all those things. He cried, he jumped, he spoke in tongues, but didn't feel like he had. And they say, well, maybe you got sin in your life and you need to go see Brother Branham. He's a prophet. He'll tell you some things. He went down to see Brother Branham, and it was like, brother, they told me if I cried, I had it. And that just didn't seem like it. It didn't seem like I had it. They told me if I jumped, I had it. It didn't seem like after I jumped that I had it. They told me to speak in tongues, and I did. And it just didn't seem like I had it. He said, was all them people wrong, Brother Branham? He said, no, they weren't wrong. He said, they had an element of truth. He said, well, what was it? He said, well, when did you actually turn and start turning towards the Lord? He said, you said something about looking in your pocket and pulling out a letter, and the little note said, where will you spend eternity? And from that moment, your heart changed. You start longing for the things of God. And he said, that's exactly when God came in. The man said, oh, my goodness, I've had it all along. So he said, right down the spot, he began to cry. He began to shout. He began to speak in tongues. Because once he got a revelation of what had actually happened to him, it set him free. See, the mystery of the Holy Ghost without sensation. Baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. Everybody gonna be different. There might be some that will cry. There might be some that'll roll underneath the chair. There might be some that'll be in their car driving. You don't know where you'll be, where God will meet you. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. If you have a desire to be filled, he can fill you wherever he wants to fill you. Wherever he wants to feel you. You ain't got to wait for no special service. You ain't got to wait for no special people to come. You don't have to wait for any of that. You can be like Buddy Ryan, right? If you don't feel me in this cornfield, you're going to find a pile of dead bones when you get back. See, that's the approach. And the boss that wanted the Holy Ghost, and he asked his servant, you know, to pray with him. He took him out to, you know, nice field and say, pray for me so I can get the Holy Ghost. He say, boss, you can't get it here. So he said, okay, let's go up to the attic. Went up to the attic, the loft, and boss, you can't get it here. So he said, well, where can I get it? Tell me where I can get it. He said, come with me. Took him out to this old muddy area. And said, come on out here, boss. You can get it out here. See, he was trying to strip him down first until he realized he was nothing. Then he could go, then he can get the Holy Ghost. Realize we're nothing, that we need God, you know, that we need his spirit, and without it, we're not going to make it. Then we're ripe and ready to receive the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go on to this next one. Again, no such thing as a burning hell, as an eternal burning hell. You'll burn for millions of years, but anything that was eternal had never beginning or end, and hell was created. All these mysteries, the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without cessation, but the person of Christ performing in you the same works that he did. That's the reason that we even get the Holy Ghost, is so that we can carry out the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The mystery of water baptism, that's another one, where the extreme Trinitarianism has brought it into titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the mystery of the Godhead being fulfilled in the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the book of the Revelations that the church in this time was to receive. There's some of the mysteries. Here's another one. The pillar of fire returning back. Amen. That's the thing that is supposed to take place, and we see it. Oh, how we could go on naming the mysteries. Seeing that pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, the same one that struck down Saul on his road down to Damascus, and the same one coming with the same power, doing the same things and revealing the same word, staying word by word with the Bible. The sound of the trumpet means gospel trumpet, and the sounding of a trumpet in the Bible means get ready for a scriptural war. Are you getting it down? Scriptural war. Paul said, if you want to put this down in 1 Corinthians 14:8, Paul said, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how will a man know what to prepare for? And if it doesn't have a scriptural sound, a vindication of the word of God made manifest, how will we know we're at the end time? If it says they believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but denies signs and wonders, that the whole realm of nature believed on him and all the church believed on him, by this, how we know how to prepare. Okay. So what we want to just kind of establish there, some of the mysteries that Brother Branham would be addressing, amen, according to scripture, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. And I know that there's been some talk, different ones say, well, Brother Branham, the scriptures say mystery, not mysteries. Well, Brother Branham also kept using the word mysteries, you know, because there were many mysteries. Really understanding the mystery of God, you know, it's a whole bunch of mysteries that go with God. But he did use the word mysteries, so that's why we, you know, we use that as well. Okay, let me... I had a couple other quotes that I would like to read. Let's see here. Praise the Lord. All right, yeah, let's just, this is coming out of Spiritual Food in Due Season, 1965. And this just kind of goes on to solidify a little bit more about the other might, I mean, scripture, Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And Brother Branham makes this comment here in Spiritual Food in Due Season, paragraph 78. Says, I think it was so striking the other day when I was bringing the seven church ages to start off with, I couldn't make out Jesus standing there with those with that white over him like that. It said his hair was white as wool. I couldn't understand how a man 33 years old would be snow white. And Brother Bram was telling us he couldn't understand that. How a man 33 years old would be snow white. I called a good theologian, Pentecostal theologian, a good dear friend. Well, it was Brother Jack Moore. He's smart, intelligent man. He said, Brother Branham, that was Jesus glorified. That's what he looked like after he was glorified. No, I couldn't believe that. No. Said, Brother Moore, thank you. I got in the room there, and I got to speaking to God. I run my concordance to take him back to Daniel, where it said he came to the Ancient of Days, whose hair was white as wool. said, Lord, I don't know what to say, and I've got the responsibility. Now, that was, and remember, before the seven seals was opened about a year or more before, I was praying there, Lord, what was it? And I looked, standing before me, and there stood a man, and he was a judge, and he had a white wig on. The old judges of ancient days used to wear a white wig to show that he was a supreme authority. Now, I want to just kind of just state this. From a prophet that's been proven to be right every time, it's much easier to receive things like this. But when, you know, you have others that, you know, everybody don't have this gift. And it's not a gift that we should just pray and ask God to give us. Brother Branham didn't pray and ask God to give him this anointing. It was just given to him. All right. And that's why I believe, I mean, gifts and callings come without repentance. You're just born with these gifts. You don't pray and ask God to give me the gift. You're just born with them. But, you know, a lot of times when we're trying to get understanding of the scripture, the best way for us to get understanding is, Lord, show it to me in Brother Branham's message. Show it to me. Show me where your prophet has spoke about this. You know, I was telling I think it was my wife, I had this thought about, you know, the day gravitation lost its hold. I just been sitting on that for months, never said a word. But I had to wait for God to give me context. You know, I didn't want to just make up something. You know, when I shared believers' authority, I shared you all the dream that I had of John having Jesus giving John authority, just Jesus letting John exercise his authority. It was something that Jesus could have took care of, but he said he let John do it. You know, and I had that dream, and I'm like, I don't understand what that means. But then later on, it came back in the form of a quote, and then back into the scripture what that was. You know, where the Peter and John went to the temple. They had an opportunity to exercise their authority because Brother Branham say, no doubt Jesus walked by this man many a times on his way to church. So Jesus could have dealt with that man at the gate called Beautiful, but he left it there for Peter and John to deal with him. See, that, I mean, God will sometimes, and I had that dream in 2007. I had to wait on the Lord for 3 years before I could actually share that. Sometimes God will give us something, if we don't know how to just be quiet and wait, you got to question that. Sometimes God don't, like Brother Branham, even with the surges of time, he waited a whole year before he shared that. You know, church, sometimes we got to learn how to be able to do that. So I'm just saying that, you know, Brother Branham is our example, but let's not seek to be like Brother Branham. Let's seek to be like Jesus. You know, let's seek to be like Jesus. You share quotes like this, and then some people say, well, you know, that same thing happened to me. You know, I was praying about a scripture, and God showed me this. Okay, now, after the Lord showed you that, did he show you where Brother Branham might have said something about it? See, that's very important, because if we can't really line it up with what the prophet has said and what the scripture's saying, we got to be very, very careful. Very careful. Church, Eve missed it by one word. One word, church. Not a paragraph, not a sentence. One word. That's all she missed, and it caused everything that we got today. So you think about that. Amen. This is a perfect gospel, and we already got a vindicated prophet. So let's just stay with what that vindicated prophet said. We're bound to come out right. Amen. Amen. Okay. Paragraph 81, and I looked, standing before me, and there stood a man, and he was a judge, and he had a white wig on. The old judges of ancient days used to wear a white wig to show that he was a supreme authority. Then when I seen Jesus with the white wig, I said it only vindicates the truth that we know, that he is the supreme authority. God witnessed the same thing on Mount Transfiguration, said, this is my beloved son, hear him, the supreme authority. Then back out there at the beginning of the seven seals, when those seven angels come down in that pyramid form, stood there and told me to return back here and speak on those seven seals, and he'd be with me. He showed me what they were, the lost things. I always thought it was sealed on the back of the book, and it'd be something wasn't wrote in the book. See, that what I was telling y'all earlier, how you got to follow that thought. He was saying there's, you know, seven seals on the back side, seven seals on the inside. But look at what he just said. I always thought it was sealed. on the back of the book, and it'd be something wasn't wrote in the book. But it turned out that it was made known that he cannot do that. It isn't something that's written in the book. It's something that's been hid in the book. For whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it. So it's a mystery that's been in the book in these seven church ages. Each one of them produced a mystery all about water baptism and these other things that they fumbled about so long. Then when that went up, the big observatories from way down in California, plumb down in Mexico, over Tucson, everywhere, taking the picture of it. It was a mysterious sight. Brother Fred Softman, they're sitting right back there, and I and Brother Gene Norman standing right there present when it went up. They took the picture. Still, they don't know what about it. Here some time ago, everybody saying, looky here, this looks like this. And them angels' wings, how they're folded in there, you know. Y'all seen the picture. One day, turning it to the right, looking, there was Jesus Christ just as perfect as Hoffman ever drawed him. It was standing there, and this is the important part right here, it was standing there with a white wig on, God vindicating it even in the skies, you know. And he's talking about this mighty angel here in Revelation 10:7. Also in Revelation 1, it talks about, it gives his seven, the sevenfold glory of his personage. It's saying it was standing there with a white wig on, looking back down towards the earth, showing that he is supreme authority. The heavens declare it. The Bible declares it. The message declares it. All the same, supreme authority. With the white wig on, you see his black beard under. And some of y'all ready to go look at the picture again and see if y'all can see the black beard under. But Brother Branham's saying it's there. You see his black beard under? Many of you have seen the picture. We got it back there. Just turn it to the right, sideways. Look at it. There he is, just as perfect as it was if it had been photographed of him. They're looking at it from the wrong angle. You got to look at it in the right angle. And only the Lord can reveal which is the right angle. Turn it to your right and look at it. There he is, just as perfect. Had it been photographed up there, the first time I ever seen him, he looked like the head of Hoffman. I had never seen that before. And in Billy Sunday's Tabernacle, years later, I saw it. My house has never been without one of the pictures since. Then here in the skies, saying that the very God that I saw up in this vision out here, just a little boy out here by where the schoolhouse stands, he looked like that. And here in the heavens, 33 years later, declared that's the truth, that's the way he looks, not some mystic something of somebody's idea. And what Brother Branham was saying is that he had the opportunity to see the Lord Jesus himself. One time he's out praying, and, he's just praying and all of a sudden he saw a figure there in just kind of a garment just blowing in the wind. And he didn't know. He moved over to try to get his attention. And you all heard the story. He's he's trying to get, Jesus' attention. That's what he's saying. And as he's trying to get his attention, he never answered to any of that. He just kind of kept looking in a certain direction. And I guess what I'll do to get his attention is I'll call him. And that's what you got to do. If you want the Lord's attention, call him. Just call his name. And they say all he did, he said, Jesus? He said as soon as he said Jesus, the face turned and looked at him. Said that's the last thing he saw till he woke up. Because he was just in the spirit. He just cried himself to sleep, that night, being able to see Jesus, there. And he said, and just don't know, no artist could ever really pick up what he saw. And the closest thing that he could see to what he saw that night, the closest picture that he could ever identify that looked like what he saw was Hoffman's head of Christ, which is what we have up there. That's the closest thing Brother Branham could see. Now you understand why, like some churches you go to, they have different color Jesus, You know, they got all kind of things. Different race Jesus, you know. That's not what we're looking at. See, I mean, this is what Brother Branham said. This is the closest thing that he saw to what Jesus looked like, you know, that night that he was out there in that field. And he said, you know, I saw him as a little boy, and then in that vision when he was trying to get a revelation, what is Revelation 1 all about before he tackled the seven church ages? What is this all about? And he preached the seven church ages. Remember, 1960 is when the church ages were preached. 1963 is when the seals were preached. And it's very important. When we're quoting from the church age book, you all are quoting, I'm quoting from the edited version of the church ages. Most of the time I'm quoting from the edited version. But remember, it was 1960 that he preached the church ages. Then 63, he preached the seals. So before the Lord took him home, that book, that church age book, had been edited for almost 5 years. And the Lord, the same month that Brother Branham was called off the scene, was the same month that he gave approval to allow that book to be published and released. Church age book is very important. And if you carefully look at the church age book, this is why I always share, when you're trying to introduce someone to the message or you want to share the message with them, give them the church age book. Because just about every doctrine that we believe in this message is in that church age book. Other thing, very easy to read. Very easy to read. Most people, you give them one of Brother Branham's messages, it's hard for them to follow. You talk about a man with a seventh grade education. He was not an eloquent speaker. God didn't use it that way. And if you can get past the grammar and see the revelation, then you made some tremendous progress. But a lot of people, it's hard for them to get over that, especially when they listen to some of these big name preachers nowadays. I mean, you name them, they listen to them week in and week out. It's hard to, it ain't up, you know, what you trying to say, you know. If you just be patient, you'll get a lot more out of it if you can get by, you know. And the other thing, that's why, that, you know, even if you don't have a chance to read, then listen to the tapes. You'll be able to understand by listening to the tapes, you know. Faith come by hearing anyway, you know. But so, you know, he shared so much with us, and you just really study not that you listen to the message to get your soul fed, but then eventually you start studying this message and you start watching how God was doing certain things at certain times. It just blows your mind. It really blows your mind just to see how God has done some things. And I'm grateful, church, that he has allowed us to be able to sit here in this hour and to be able to just kind of sort through and get the meat of this message and really, really get a clear understanding. When we read Revelation 10, it's history. I brought y'all that quote last week. The mystery is history. At one time it was a dream. One time it was just something written in the scripture, but now it's history. And what Brother Branham's quote I just read you, that white wig, and you all seen the picture, Brother Branham identifying this angel, Revelation 10:1, coming down. You know, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. See, clothed with a cloud. And we know that that's what they call it, just a big a cloud that went up, the cloud that they saw in the sky. Seven angels that went up after they met with Brother Branham, commissioned to go back to preach the seals. They called it in the form of a cloud. Brother Branham said, turn the picture to the right. It's Christ. Can you see his beard? That's what he says. It's Christ, just like he saw in that broom sage field. So praise the Lord. We got clarity. We thank God for it. We will try to move a little forward with the next few verses on next week. That certainly pertains a lot to us. John was told to eat the book. And so we'll get more into that next week, bring some quotes in regards to that. God bless you. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for Lord, being able to read your word. God, we thank you that your prophet has shared so much that we, God, could take hold of this and, Lord, allow it to become part of our life. Help us, God, to, Lord, be appreciative of what it is that we see, what we hear. And, God, not to be lifted up in any way, but, Lord, to be humble. God, we just thank you and we're grateful. Pray that you would bless amen, those that have heard the word tonight, those that might hear on tape, those that might hear on the internet, wherever, bless their hearing, Lord, that they will hear. And our objective, Lord God, is just to bring truth and to help us settle and establish your people. God, as your prophet even brought one of the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. Too often we look for sensations, feelings. They change often. Lord, we want to move by revelation. God, we want to know without a doubt in our heart, amen. And when it's revealed to us, only the Spirit, only you can reveal it to us. Once it's revealed, there's nobody or no situation or no circumstance that can take it away. We ask that you reveal yourself to us in the only way that you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.